Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me be the first one. Happy Hanukkah! Happy Hanukkah!
Happy Hanukkah.
You look a little puzzled. Well, I expect that most of us, though, we're probably not as much up on our Jewish heritage as we should be, because it's the foundation on which the church is built, without a doubt. No, but Hanukkah does not happen in spring at Easter, right? Usually it happens in winter, and it's quite often somewhere around the same time as we Christians celebrate Christmas. So you're wondering, okay, where's it going to go with this? Well, first off, I want you to know this is where our gospel lesson takes place. And there is a reason for that, which I hope to get to. The dedication of the temple is what they called, what we call Hanukkah, in Jesus' day. Now, how many of you know anything about Hanukkah? Anybody? Okay. Well, let me tell you the brief synopsis. I'll give you all the details. Hanukkah was an event that happened because when Alexander the Great spread throughout the Middle East and eastern parts of the Mediterranean, he was very tolerant of other religions and other groups. He was a very inquisitive, cautious person, even if he was a little bloodthirsty at times. But his followers, who took over when he died unexpectedly, tended not to be. And especially those who took over what is the Holy Land were very intolerant of any other religion other than the Greek. And so they wanted to impose the Greek pantheon of gods upon the Jewish people and convert the temple in Jerusalem into a temple for one of the Greek gods. As you can expect, that didn't go over too big with the monotheistic Jews of the period. And so they helped. In the final kind of days when things all looked in doubt, the priests, including the chief priests, barricaded themselves in the temple. Well, the Greek rulers figured, well, you know, we'll let them kind of starve and we'll let them stay in there. And they were afraid that the light in the temple, not unlike the one we put here, which burned all the time, it was kept lit all the time to symbolize God's presence among his people at all times and all places, would go out. And the oil ran down, but it never ran out. And the miracle is that there was not enough oil, but it lasted for 8 days and nights. Hence, if you've ever seen a menorah, you'll notice there are 8 lights on. And the Jewish tradition is to light a candle each night for every night, because the day begins at sunset in both the Jewish and Christian traditions, to symbolize the fact that God provided for you. Now, a side benefit of that, this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I can't resist telling you, a good friend of mine who grew up Jewish in the valley here, who I did ski patrol with, said it was great, because not only did the parents make sure they got presents for Christmas, they got 8 gifts on Hanukkah, a gift for each night. But the more important thing about that is that Hanukkah had a deep and profound meaning for those people. It was a reminder to them that God cared about them and their lives, that God was involved in what they did, and that God would provide that which was necessary for them to live and worship. The faithfulness of God was lifted up at Hanukkah. Lifted up as a reminder that no matter how many turmoils, no matter how bad things seemed to be going around them, God was walking with them and leading them. As I thought about that, that, to me, is the same thing as Good Shepherd Sunday. Sorry, Barbara, I know you like the Good Shepherd a lot. But I'm kind of tired of preaching on the Good Shepherd. I decided to give that a break. We get that a lot in the church, every fourth Easter, every year, and a bunch of times in the summer. I think we know the symbolism of the Good Shepherd well enough that I don't need to repeat it. But I don't know if we picked up the Hanukkah connection here. That is why those around him in the temple were so animated about Jesus. Because one of the traditions around the Hanukkah is, as God was faithful in their time of despair when they were being dominated by these Greeks, so God would send deliverance in a new era and restore Jerusalem to its former glories or some new glory, depending on which interpretation you heard. And that is where messianic thing comes in. And that's why they were so excited, wanted to know and wanted to know now. But that also is part of the difficulty. The story. Because you see, Hanukkah was a wonderful event. It is something that we need to lift up in our rooms, and we do. And that sort of is modeled a little bit after Hanukkah, let's be honest. It has a lot of that dimension to it. We do it differently, but we light those candles in remembrance. We wait before we celebrate the birth of Jesus, as though our society's already been there 2 months ahead, in order to kind of contemplate the deliverance of God coming in the midst of our lives, our troubles, our concerns, and joys. And that's important to lift up. That's what I think the Good Shepherd imagery is partially about. It is this notion that God does not abandon his people. Like a shepherd does not abandon the sheep. He cares for them. He leads them. Now, but it's important to notice that Hanukkah, not only what happened, but what doesn't happen. Hanukkah did not suddenly turn out like a fairy tale where suddenly everybody was happy and bright and shiny and singing kumbaya and everything was right with life. No. The Jewish people at that time continued to struggle. But God was with them. God walked with them. God led them. Didn't take care of all their problems, but took care of what they needed to go on. That a shepherd does too. The shepherd never eliminates the fear of the sheep. Never eliminates totally the sheep wandering off, but always provides what is needed to lead and guide. And I think that's where the people around Jesus, they were so anxious. They wanted to know now. They didn't want to wait. But God's story throughout both scriptures and through the two millennia of the church is quite often about anticipatory waiting, as I like to call it. It's not waiting and sitting on the sidelines, but waiting, looking, seeking for where God may be active. And we talk all of this about Advent, but that was so long ago, I wanted to drag it back out again. To remind us that in all the seasons of our lives, God does not instantly solve our problems, does not make everything all right for us. And anyone who tells you that is not telling you the gospel truth. The gospel truth is that instead, God cares about you and I, never leaves us alone, always walks with us and guides us. And the oil of necessity, what we need in this life from God, never runs out. We may worry about it when it gets down low on the oil, but the promise is that God will always deliver that for us. And we need to keep that perspective active. We can tell to God all our problems and ills, but not all God's not going to cure all our problems and ills. It is working through the conflicts, the turmoils, and so forth, that God is at work in the world. We live in tumultuous times, but let's be honest. When have there not been tumultuous times? It's just when we look back, we understand what was going on. When living them, no age has been settled and happy and bright and cheerful. It's always had both struggles and joys. The promise of God is consistent through those changes that God walks with us and leads us through it. And if the shepherd imagery works, that's great. But I wanted to throw another one. To dig up both that tradition that I think we need to hold because it's rooted deep inside who we are as Christians too. Of Hanukkah, and also have an appreciation for those who celebrate it and have something to share with them when that season comes around again. But also that balancing out there is important. To know what it means and whose voice to listen to, as Jesus puts it in this. If a voice tells us, if you only follow me, I'll make you rich and happy and nothing will go wrong, run the other way. That's not how God works. Maybe I could pull it together with one story. And if I've told this before, shoot me. You know, it's a good story. I'm going to probably tell it lots of times. It's a true story. One of my classmates in seminary got to go on a trip to the Holy Land. And he brought back souvenirs, and I have one of those, and that's a story for another time. But when he told us this great story, he loved to tell this story. They were on the bus, kind of going through parts of Galilee, you know, and the professor was lecturing. He always had a professor from the seminary, you know, had to lecture, explain everything. He was talking about the shepherd that day, and how the shepherd led the sheep, and how, you know, shepherds were risked their lives for the sheep and all this stuff. And suddenly the bus comes to a stop, and the students look. Here go all these lambs. And behind them, a guy with a stick beating on them, moving them across the road. And they're snickering, because, you know, this is not what the professor told them. So the professor gets off the bus, takes the bus driver to translate, and goes to talk. And when he comes back, he's laughing. He gets on the bus and says, "That was not the shepherd. That was the village butcher." stories of Hanukkah and of the Good Shepherd remind us that Jesus is not the butcher from behind pushing us to oblivion, but the one who leads and walks and guides us wherever life may take. Jesus is not the butcher, he's the shepherd. But also, happy Hanukkah. Let us always be thankful for God's mercy and grace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.